Hello, world.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Love Bite. Hey, we're live tonight.
We are.
Because last week we had a classic episode.
Yes.
We broadcast. Yes. I don't know what episode it was.
It was the one with Lady Isadora.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Why
you choose that one.
Do.
You choose one without me.
No.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Jeremy?
No. Jeremy said that the system just randomly picks one.
No. Fuck that. No random motherfucking picking.
That means that she rejects that completely.
That's saying it nicely. I think I said it the way I really meant it was no random motherfucking picking.
Yeah, that's
that's how I feel about that.
Yes.
But anyway, so hi, welcome to Love Bite.
Hello, everyone. I missed you so much, even though I don't see any of your faces.
Which might actually be worthwhile. It's a lot like bending the bitch over. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck.
I don't have to see the faces.
I guess.
Fuck, come on. Sick and real. So we actually have an in-studio guest. This is kind of exciting because now, you know, we're starting to get like more people coming into the studio.
Yes.
That are, you know, wanting to reveal their freaky, kinky shit.
Hey, and you know what? If you're local or if you're going to be in the Los Angeles area and you feel that you have something to add to this kinky arena of stuff, tweet us. Or you know, go on FetLife, and I think, yeah, I'm on there now, Novice Nancy. So yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to introduce it's submissive, and we're calling him Puppy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh fucking hell. So Puppy.
Yes.
Okay, wait, because you're
gonna
burst.
Smack him.
You're
gonna
burst.
Fucking smack him is what I'm gonna do.
So here's the thing. In our lovely lifestyle, we all have. Some of us are not as out as others.
Yeah, we have like jobs and shit. And,
yeah, so you know, you do what you do to cover yourself.
Yeah, that's fine. I should totally be more supportive of that, even though I want to mock him.
So I know you want to mock him, but hey, you know what? If this is how he feels safe. Then that's what will happen. That's
all right,
how
fine.
You feel safe.
Thank you.
You're welcome. From one sub to another.
I will get away with it. I will get over this, and I'm not going to say I'm not going to smack him at some point because it just may happen.
Well, it's quite dangerous though because you're sitting right next to him.
Yes.
So
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
So fantastic. So we were going to have another guest on.
Yes.
A femdom with whom we are both affiliated and friendly with in the Los Angeles area. But something came up. And so thankfully, Puppy, you know, was able to clear his schedule in order to be able to come in and help us out. So we're not like just, not only giving mics to subs people, because I know that's what it might look like. So far, we've only had now, this is our fourth submissive in studio. So it's not that. You know, I don't have a problem with other dominants coming on and talking. I'm okay with that. I'm not that kind of an alpha dog. But, we're happy enough to have Puppy here, which is really interesting because there are some things I've known Puppy for
2 or 3 years.
Yeah, a few years, and he's really one of the first few people within the community that I met, and I love him dearly. He's a fantastic person outside of the lifestyle. In the lifestyle, he's wonderful, and I know him pretty well, and he's had some struggles. You know, if I'm just gonna recap his life very quickly in DS. He had kind of his perfect DS relationship. He had the perfect mistress. They were, you know, very much in love and had that DS. And then through some unfortunateness, she is no longer with us, and so he now is mistressless. And so he's been kind of since then looking for this perfect mistress. And in that quest, he's found himself sometimes, as we all have, in unbalanced relationships, and it comes to me. Would you say so far my recap of you?
Absolutely perfect.
Okay, fantastic. I pay attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get an A for paying attention, kids. So I think that the topic for tonight is unbalanced DS relationships. Which I think the first question then naturally should be: are all DS relationships unbalanced, Puppy?
I don't believe so. I think you can find the perfect balance between the sub and the dom.
Okay, so, you know, from an outsider's perspective that doesn't get DS, they would automatically look at it and say, well, that's terribly unbalanced because they don't understand it. So how, from your perspective, as the because an outsider would perceive the submissive to be getting the short end of the stick more often than not than the dominant, when if you know people that don't get the lifestyle. So since you are the submissive, how do you, and you've had that balance, how does that balance feel to you?
Well, what you do is you find a partner, hopefully, that boy, it's really hard to talk like this, you know?
Guess you should have thought about that. Huh?
Aren't you glad you didn't go with the stupid fucking accent? Oh, I would have smacked him.
You still want to smack him. I feel like you just want to. You just
want to
smack him just because.
But that's okay. Go on, carry on. Puppy.
How do we say this? The submissive gets enough, gets exactly what that person wants out of the relationship if it's perfect. If the dominant knows exactly how to be a dominant for that person, or if the, you know, there's always a give and take, but the submissive is looking for something.
I think you'd take another hit of helium. Just right?
He was saying something really serious.
And I can't pay attention. Fucking shiny.
The submissive is looking for something, and if the dominant's the perfect dominant for them, then the relationship is good. It's just like any vanilla relationship where they each have something they offer the other.
True. So, Nancy, are all DS relationships unbalanced?
See, I think that by definition they're supposed to be. I think most people's traditional definition of a relationship is a two-way street, 50-50, well, as close to 50-50 as you can get.
You've never been married.
No, I have not, actually.
Cousin, no. Sorry.
But even in every, even vanilla relationships, there's always going to be an element of one person that sort of maybe makes a little bit more of the decisions, even though they might say they're perfectly balanced.
Sure. Yeah, there's compromise.
Exactly.
There's compromising.
There's always somebody that's going to be sort of making decisions or doing sort of more in the relationship than the other one. And I was talking with a mistress earlier today that I happen to be out with, and one of the interesting things that came up, she said, let me think about how this went. Are vanilla relationships better? And I said, no, actually, a DS relationship is better because there's no arguing. You know who's in charge. If the submissive is doing what they're supposed to be doing, there's no arguing in the relationship. It's a much cleaner, nicer, better relationship.
It's defined.
It's well defined.
That's true. That's true. It's interesting because you both approach this from the submissive standpoint, and I obviously approach this from the dominant standpoint. And I look at the DS relationships, and I, from an external point of view, I can see how somebody would perceive the submissives getting the short end of the stick as doing all of the work, as whatever, and, you know, the dominant just doling out tasks and et cetera, et cetera. But being the dominant, the task doler, I can tell you that the amount of fucking work that I do in a DS relationship is in fucking sane. It's so much more work than in any vanilla relationship I've ever been in. It's always on the dominant. It's always on me. I have to, if there's cracks, I have to fill them with caulk. That's C-A-U-L-K, not C-O-C-K. But yes, we can fill those cracks with caulk too. I'm okay with both caulks, to be honest. But if there are issues that come up, it's the dominant that has to manage them, no matter what it is. If the relationship is floundering, it's the dominant. If the submissive is floundering, if the dominant is floundering, it's the dominant that has to handle everything. So for me, if anybody were to ask about it being an unbalanced relationship, if it existed, I'd be like, fuck yeah, the D shit, we do it all. But I know that that's not true. I know that for every task that I dole out, for every responsibility that I give, for every, you know, silent treatment that I give, I am aware that there is you know, an equal and opposite reaction to what I'm doing. So I know that it's give and take. There has to be a very equal amount of tension on both sides in order for it to happen. And my opinion is that it is even more delicate in the DS world than in the vanilla world, because we have to be able to maintain that balance, and we can't give it up. I mean, if one side stops pulling on the tug of rope for just a minute, it ends up just destroying the entire game or whatever. You know, I'm just using that as an analogy. So that's my opinion, is that I think that they have to be perfectly balanced, or else they're unsuccessful.
Well, that's just like a vanilla relationship. There's always there's no such thing as a perfect person, but you can find the perfect person for you, the perfect mate for you, and it doesn't matter if it's vanilla or DS, because in a DS relationship, obviously what you're saying from the dominance perspective, there is a tremendous amount of work there, but of course that's the whole point. You're the one supposed to be doing the work, in a way.
Clearly I like that.
Exactly. And from the submissive standpoint, we want that domination. We want the person being in charge. That makes us comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it's work, but when you're tasking us with something, whether like with Nancy cleaning in her case, in my case,
fixing my fucking door.
Yes.
Fixing my fucking door.
Or whatever.
I don't know where I got that from.
You want me to come fix your doors?
Yes!
Yes, I will do that.
Okay, awesome.
But the point is, from the submissive standpoint, when you task us with that, it is. Not, I don't want to say the word relaxing. It's not relaxing, but it's fulfilling.
It's rewarding. Right.
So maybe you're seeing it as a struggle and something that you have to fight with. But when you're throwing out those tasks and it's oh my God, it's so taxing to me. I have to keep on top of my submissive all the time. Then the submissive is, of course, getting fulfilled.
No, and it's not that it's taxing. I mean, but it is one of those you really can't give. You have to keep on it. There's not those moments of, I'm just gonna sit here and be a vegetable today. I mean, there can be, but, you know, you still have to plan it out. You know, there always has to be a plan. So that's my thing. But yeah. Okay. So what you're saying is, in the sense of fulfillment for you in your S-type roles, have you found fulfillment non-S-type in a vanilla relationship?
I certainly have, yes. But I even find that the women that I'm attracted to when I've had vanilla relationships tend to have these little streaks of dominance, or at least just... I just naturally get attracted to that. Even with the vanilla women, it turns out that they have a little bit of power there, and so it's that's the attraction.
Right.
I think I can have a successful vanilla relationship. It's just not something that I look for. If I stumble across it, then wonderful. But it's not something that I look for, and ultimately would be fulfilling to me.
All right. So kind of paint your perfect relationship.
That is really difficult.
I know.
It's one
I'm
of
not
going
to ask easy questions.
It's one of those things, you know it when you see it, and I think it's one where it's vanilla in appearance in public, and in private it's 100% DS, which does not always mean for me that I'm on my knees and begging forgiveness or doing sort of these sort of silly things when you go to a professional dominatrix you pay for. But in my perfect relationship with my last girlfriend that was my dominant, it was just well understood. If I was bad, I got punished. If I was good, I got rewarded. So it was just... how we lived our life, and it was as natural for her as it was for me. There was no, I didn't have to bring her into a sort of a scene or any kind of thing like that. It just was her natural predisposition.
It worked.
It worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody's attracted to whomever that they're naturally attracted to. I mean, and I don't think that, I think that we will probably, if each of us look back at our own histories, we'll see, you know, to what we're attracted. And we don't want to get into my psychology of that, but I mean, sure, the two of you could find that you were both attracted at some point to dominant women, both of you dominant women, you know, which would make sense, because that's a different story if we're talking about something else, because you know what I'm saying. So, nobody knows what I'm saying, because it's in my head, which is fantastic.
No idea.
It's all in my fucking head, and wow. I'm not letting it out. Ha ha.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
So, in what kinds of relationships do you feel that it was unbalanced, and what did that look like?
Well, probably this mistress I was with earlier today is a good example. I think that's what you're trying to get out of me.
Actually, no, but I love that. I was going for the past, but go for today.
Hell yeah.
It's fantastic.
Through a very vanilla means, I happened to meet this beautiful woman, and even when I thought she was completely vanilla, I was quite attracted to her, not just the physical part, but you could just tell there was some underlying thing there. And one thing led to another. We have a mutual friend. The mutual friend said, "Oh, did you know that she is a dominatrix?" I was, "Really? You don't say."
Everything just clicked. That's why I like her.
So I started.
It helps that she's super hot.
That certainly helps. But I started talking to her, you know, through text messages, phone calls, Facebook, whatever. And she, even though she's a professional, she also is a lifestyle dominant.
Sure.
And so as soon as she figured out that I was submissive, then she started saying, "Oh, why don't you come over and XYZ?" Mm-hmm. And for me, because I am not the kind of person that seeks out a professional dominant, that in my mind, I was thinking it was going that route, and she wasn't asking that, but I didn't know where this was for me, because I didn't believe she had any interest in me as a boyfriend. But and she wasn't going the route of a professional, so it was a sort of no man's land. She's pulling up these huge submissive feelings from me. And I'm doing these tasks and doing things for her and taking her places. And I don't know what the finish line is. I don't know if it's going to be a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship or if it's what it's going to be.
So for you, it's the entire context of a relationship is tainted because you don't know what the end goal is. Where in reality, you are becoming very satisfied through these submissive acts.
She and I have like you and I, because you and I have talked about this, we're very simpatico as far as your dominance and my submission. We're, you know, people can have different ways to look at these things, mm-hmm. and you and I are very similar in that way, but she and I are absolutely perfect. I mean, she has a web page, and I read through what her desires were, and it was like, be still my heart, you know. They were just these amazing things in writing. So, you know.
Which he then added to a spank bank.
Thank you very much for.
If anybody needed a translation there, I was giving that to y'all. Yeah. I know how puppy thinks.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, it becomes a sort of strange thing where you're absolutely. You're like a puppy because. You're following this person. They're giving generous, nice things. But I mean, of their time, and they're not asking, you know, for money. It's not a professional thing. Obviously, if we go out to eat, it's expected I pay, of course. But that's like any date. And so you just it's not a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, but that's what I would ultimately want it to evolve into. And if it can't do that, then I'm sort of in this weird limbo where it's very much one-sided.
Well, you don't know that because you haven't, you don't know how she's feeling.
That's correct.
She might be, you know, getting the same level of dominant satisfaction that you're getting from your submissive satisfaction, even on a one-off basis.
Well,
you know,
I believe
on,
that's
from
true.
A piecemeal kind of standpoint where it's not necessarily about it being a relationship. But I'm knowing you, I know that your entire enhancement of it overall will alter as soon as it becomes a relationship. If it is not, you know, you have that question. You're a questioner. You always need to know.
That's true.
So in my mind, because in each moment you can have that subspace experience, and yet you will taint it in some way because it's just for the moment. It's like a one-night stand.
Exactly.
You know, and is she going to call me again?
Exactly. And actually, it's she and her roommate, who is also a professional dominatrix.
Fuck, they travel in packs.
They do. You met her. You didn't meet her. You weren't at the last munch, and you didn't meet her because you weren't there, but she was at the last munch as well. She loved it, by
Fuck.
The
way. They're taking over, man. These pros.
They're both lifestyle.
We love the pros. We love the pros.
No, I love the pros, totally. I mean, I know lots of pros.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they're also both lifestyles, so.
No, I know. Most, I don't know a single pro that isn't lifestyle as well, mm-hmm. personally.
But what, the interesting thing, I know several pros that aren't lifestyle.
I personally don't.
Yeah, I do. I've met them. But the interesting thing was the first thing that I took this mistress to that was completely vanilla. It was when I was basically just taking her because we're going to go see a friend perform and so forth, a mutual friend. And when I took her back to her apartment, she put her out her hand as if to say, and we'd already talked about the her dominance and her professional lifestyle and all that. And she put out the back of her hand for me to kiss it. Well, this immediately threw me into a subspace that just... And you laugh.
It's fucking hot.
It really
it's
was.
It's really hot.
It really was.
And I fucking love hearing subs talk. And all I can do is laugh. I'm sorry.
You're so mean.
I'm not laughing maniacally. I'm joking.
Totally like imagining this in my mind, and I'm like, oh.
She's sitting in the car, and she just reaches her hand out to kiss me, to have me kiss the back of her hand. It was like I almost melted.
Oh.
Does Nancy understand?
Totally fucking get it.
She's...
That's why you're not a submissive.
Fuck, I'm not.
Because
I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Smiteful Center's over here shaking her head.
I totally disbelief. Give two to that. I'd be like, fuck you, bitch. I got to go.
So it has progressed beyond that. Today I was able to hug her on my knees. And actually we had...
that gets face at crotch level.
That is
a win.
At boob level, more or less.
Oh, well, yeah. you could lower a lot to get crotch level.
Actually,
and sniff it like a puppy.
I actually got a three-way hug by the second one. And that was like a little slice of heaven. That was just submissive heaven for me. It was amazing. And they petted my head like a little puppy, and it was... I almost came.
That is so awesome.
Thank you.
So awesome.
No, I mean, that's awesome. That's so awesome. That's awesome. How awesome that is.
You're sitting here
awesomely
looking at me
awesome.
Like you're disgusted.
Wow.
See, here's my deal. Here's my deal. You're my friend.
I know. I love you.
I love you dearly. I don't like the concept that perhaps you're being taken advantage of. This bothers me. And I'm trying to reconcile with myself that you're not really being taken advantage of, because you're not being lied to, you're not being led on, you are definitely getting something out of it, you are definitely getting those moments of bliss, that subspace that you're getting. So I know that you're not being taken advantage of. But I'm as we said previously, that DS relationships are a little bit easier in a way because everything's more clearly defined. I'm struggling in the fact that this is clearly the development of some sort of relationship, whether it be more loosely based or more tightly based. It's some sort of a relationship, but it's not defined. And I, as a dominant, I look at the other dominant and I get exasperated in the fact that there is no definition or no attempt at definition or no approaching of what this is or isn't. And maybe it's because she doesn't know what it is or isn't, or doesn't know what she wants it to be. And I get that, but But I'm gonna side with you in a lot of ways, but I'm gonna give you the tough love, not like the sweet lovey love that Nancy over there was giving you earlier.
Oh my God.
Oh, I totally get that. And I'm like, shut up. He needs to stand up and he needs to talk and he needs to do something. And
okay. I understand that. And the thing is that you're speaking more as his friend.
Yes. Well, of course, he's my friend.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that I'm not your friend.
Yes.
She's saying she's not your friend.
You know, that's not exactly that is not at all what I'm saying.
She just said that. I could edit it to make it say that.
No, that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying that I understand why things like that, why acts like that become so intoxicating. Where you're just like, yeah, what? I'm not going to think about things that are reasonable. This is awesome. Let's do this all the time. Yay.
That works out.
It is almost maddening because I don't want to be the puppy. I don't want to be the unrequited love. But then again, she gives me in a single look everything I need. It's just
see, and this is also where I struggle to a point. and this is not you as puppy, my friend. This is just a general, this unrequited love concept, I think, is so intertwined and cuckolding.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you happen to be a big fan of cuckolding. I don't know if the word
fan is appropriate. But.
Shall we talk about some of your masturbation fantasies?
No.
Because we can go into detail. Because I have some recollections. I even actually could probably tell you verbatim from beginning to end some of your exact cuckolding experiences.
Let's not.
Shall we? Yes, I thought you not wanted to go there. So let's go back to my previous point. Which was this unrequited love.
Wait, but we can talk about that afterwards, right?
In private.
This unrequited love, in a way, satisfies that cuckolding desire to a degree, not to the depth that you've had in the past, which I could go into detail about. You should hear some of the stories. Oh my God. Anyway, so you all want to hear, don't you? This is why you want to blog. Anyway.
Apparently I talk too much to you.
Or not enough.
Unfortunately, you have such a fantastic memory and you listen.
Come on, baby. Just tell me some more.
Oh, in private.
No, that's fine. No, I'm also really easy to talk to.
You are.
So people want to tell me all their shit.
That's why I adore you. You know that.
But so again, even if this love doesn't, this love, I'm putting quotes, rabbit ears. You can't see that in Radio Land. Rabbit ears. Even though this love is unrequited, and let's say if at some point became requited. Do people say that? Requited love? Nobody says that. Returned, then you're still kind of getting something out of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that tension, that sexual tension that's always present, that there's a significant concern that it won't be as good once it's broken. You know what I'm saying? It's that moment before the kiss.
You lost me.
Oh my God, everybody sidebar. Think about it. There is,
do you understand?
You've never, shut up, she's heard me. I'm talking. Pedestal here. Kidding. Soapbox, whatever.
What?
I don't know. Coffee? Lots of it. Anyway, so there's the moment before the kiss.
Yeah.
There is that you've never kissed before. It's somebody that you have this insane spark of passion with, that moment where you can imagine tearing off their clothes. You just wish that when their hand reached to get something, that it brushed your cheek for a moment, or your shoulder, or your hair, or there's just that. And then you lean in for the kiss, and there's that lingering moment before you touch when it's anticipation, it's fantasy, it's everything that could be. It's magic, the moment before the kiss, which is instantly destroyed at the kiss. Now, it can either be enhanced at that point where, like, fuck, they can kiss, or like, oh my fucking God, I shouldn't have kissed them because they suck. You know, it's, and nothing compares to that magic before the kiss. And you can never get it back. It exists once.
Always chasing the dragon.
Yes, because now we're having heroin references.
No, all the it's the same thing because love is like heroin.
Right, exactly.
Especially in a DS relationship where you're, for the sub side. I mean, I've always wondered if it's the same for the dom side, but for the sub side, I mean, we are so locked into, I mean, there's a word, subspace, we all know, but I don't know if there's dom space.
There is.
Okay. Well, that's...
It's just very different.
I'll take your word on it, but... You know, you get locked into this thing where a single glance, I mean, the gesture of putting out the back of a hand to kiss, putting a foot forward, kiss my foot. I mean, it's just, you just melt. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, of course, there's this sort of, that anticipation's always there. And yeah, I don't know what I would do if she's one day said, sleep over and let's have sex, like a boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't know what I would do.
Exactly.
It's a dance. It's a delicate dance.
And right now you've got the magic before the kiss. That that pause. That's what I'm saying.
I understand it now.
See?
I agree.
See? It was a good sidebar. It's good for you. It was good for me. It's good for me. I enjoyed that. You know, this is interesting because what I hear a lot of people say, those people that are not 100% out in the kinky world, you know, because there's a lot mm-hmm. of those that are not 100% out. You know, they don't have two people living with them because they have a poly relationship. You know what I'm saying? Where their kids know that, you know, dad's wife and girlfriend, you know, it's just so those of us that still kind of live in a vanilla world. We talk about having a relationship that's DS kind of in private or in the community and vanilla in public. But what I struggle with is the fact that the vanilla relationships that we see so often have so much an imbalance where one person is so clearly in charge and the other person is so clearly in tow. You can either have the overbearing wife, you can either have the overbearing husband, you know, and there's always that sense where the man is always opening the door for the woman and she is some precious cargo or whatever, you know, and you, so that exists in the vanilla world currently, which can satisfy so many people, so many submissives and dominance desires in those little small nuggets. In fact, there are several people I would imagine that are satisfied enough by that little dose of heroin that they don't ever need to seek a larger dosage, meaning a full force DS relationship, dungeons, beatings, etc., because it satisfies them just enough that they don't need to seek any further. And that's just a flat, straight out vanilla relationship, because that's kind of how they seem to exist. We see it on TV, we see it in movies, we see it in real life. So my question then is, that again would be a perception of an unbalanced relationship, and yes, both sides are getting something out of it, or else somebody would leave. You would hope. Never mind, I could be wrong. But the question therefore is, how do you know when what you're getting is enough, and when you need, not want, need something else or a little more?
Are you asking me or Nancy?
Both.
You start, Nancy.
Oh, shit. I think it takes a certain degree of being aware of oneself, which is really hard sometimes. You drop the ball and you're just not aware of yourself and you are greedy and you just want everything. But I think that if you're able to maintain a sense of being safe, not just like fit, not like in the basic term of being safe, but just like emotionally, if you're able to maintain that balance, then I think you make okay judgment calls. But I think you start running into a problem if the other person's... what?
It's not a yawn.
It is, for me it is. Anyways.
You're fucking crazy.
So anyways.
Go on.
I think that when the other person's... when you perceive their needs or their wants or whatever it is that's coming from them to be greater than what is coming from you, then I think that's when you need to stop and you need to question, okay, let's reassess things. How am I measuring my needs / wants with theirs? Where is the imbalance coming from? Is it on my end? Is it on their end? Is it something external? I think it's just, there's just this moment of analysis that needs to happen. That's all I have to say about that.
She gets so nervous. She really does. Because I'm the D type, and these conversations happen later on when we talk about it more.
Shut up. Don't say that.
I think.
No! I wasn't going to. Now I feel a desire.
No!
However, what you said before we get to puppy, what you said did inspire me to say something. When you said it required an awareness of oneself, and then you followed up by saying you needed to, you know, when you were aware that their needs / wants were overpowering yours. For you as an S type, come out from the microphone, please.
I don't want to.
I'm not going to grill you.
I know, but I feel safer like this, okay?
You fucking pussy.
you have her so wrapped around your finger. She's so afraid of you.
She shouldn't be afraid. Maybe she should. Anyway, so the question is, from the S type perspective, it seems to me very easy for the S type to become so wrapped up in their D type's needs/wants that they are unaware of their own. That seems almost as if it is a natural progression to an S type role within the DS. So do you then simply put your strength, your faith in your D type to balance that for you? Or is it topping from the bottom for you to balance it yourself? Is it what? How do you?
I think that the S type should trust their D type to be on the lookout for those
good
things.
Good answer.
Wait, stop. I'm not done.
Fuck.
I think that, you know, that's what you want. That's the ultimate goal. You want to be able to trust your D type to look out for you. And you know, so you don't have to worry about you. You're worrying about their needs and wants. And you're serving them and everything. And then if something is off kilter with the S type, then it's okay because somebody's going to call you out on it.
Okay.
But in order for that, all of that awesomeness to happen, I think that the power lies with the S type. Not the power, rather, it's almost like a realization of some sort that you need to just let go. That it's not, so you don't have to have, what?
I was just thinking, you know, let go and let God, let go and let Dom. Yes, blasphemy right here at Skid Row Studios.
She is saying very appropriate things.
No.
Because it's, you know, you get really scared that, I mean, if you're already somebody who has trust issues, you get really scared with just letting everything just go and letting someone else be that person that takes care of you in some non-traditional way.
Yes.
So your gut reaction is to just clam up and take care of yourself and just go nuts sometimes.
Yes. Or the S type reaction could be to fight tooth and nail all of the things the D type is pushing them to do and make it really, really hard on the D type to make these things happen. That could also be a manifestation of trust issues. That could be that. And maybe the D-type is aware of these trust issues and the resistance by the S-type. I mean, and just pulling shit out of the air doesn't exist. That might be the case.
But what I'm saying is that, yes, I mean, that could all be very true. It could be. Could be very true, hypothetically.
Hypothetically. I like hypothetical situations.
Could be true. But I mean, but it goes back to the same thing that I've been trying to say, is that all of this awesome, perfect imbalance that us kinky people so much want, that cannot be achieved unless the S-type is willing to let go. Which, for some people, is kind of hard. It is.
Yeah.
It is very difficult, but...
Is it hard for you, Nancy?
It is.
Okay. Is it hard for you, puppy?
Are you saying just let go totally in the relationship, which is sort of totally letting go? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is it hard to do that?
I think letting go in terms of just letting that power exchange just flourish, just letting it take its course.
For me, again, if it's in this in a real 24/7 situation, like my last girlfriend, who unfortunately, as you said, is not with us anymore, it was incredibly natural. It was natural for both of us, and everything that she desired from the D type, I desired for the S type, and vice versa.
Right.
And I was not afraid. Not topping from the bottom, but I was not afraid to say, oh my God, this is so amazing when you do this. And she would then respond by, as a reward, doing those things. And so I had no problem with that. But certainly, if it's somebody that I don't really understand where I lay with them, it's not, it is an imbalance. And so suddenly, I would like to say, you know what, I incredibly need, I have a certain fetish, which, you know, I'll remain quiet on that issue, but I need this, you know, this is something very important. And if it's almost hard to even bring the topic up because you don't know, you don't want to try to top from the bottom, and you don't want to bring these things up and make it seem like you're demanding. Does that make sense?
Total sense.
Yeah. Okay.
You weren't done with your thing, Ms. Nanza.
Yeah, but I've lost my train of thought now, so I can stop.
Excellent. That train, it flies, doesn't it? So, what was the question that I asked that started her on it, and I was going to ask you? What was the question? Do you remember?
I don't have a clue.
Neither do I. I got all these goddamn notes.
I have
notes.
No idea what's going on.
I have no fucking clue
here.
What I'm saying. Balance. Modern vanilla relationship in public. Here you go, folks. I officially had a Rush Limbaugh moment where I have no fucking clue what I'm doing.
No. We do have a clue of what we're doing. No, we do. Now I remember what I was going to say.
Yay!
But the thing is that what you're talking about, Puppy, about how there's that look, there's that gesture, there's that just little things that just make you go... Those moments are when you do forget about yourself. You do totally forget. Wait, my knees really hurt. I don't want to be on my knees anymore.
Right.
You totally forget.
My pussy lips have fallen asleep.
That also, yes. That we forget about things like that. That has happened.
Laughed and made fun of her a lot when that happened.
She actually told you her pussy lips fell asleep?
Yes. Yes.
I don't have pussy lips. I wouldn't know.
Maybe your testicles would fall asleep.
Very possibly.
Which would make CBT a very interesting event. I'd like to explore this when I get a hold of a C and a B. I'm seeing B less.
We can't use his?
I couldn't do that to Puppy.
Thank you.
He's let his C and B be with somebody else who wants to CNBT him. I love him like my friend.
I love you too.
Can't do that.
But
I would feel actually bad because he's my friend.
However, you and Nancy have asked if you could peg me.
Yes, but you would love that. And so would we. Everybody would have a good time. It would just be fun. A little pegging
for fun.
Pegging for pennies.
Oh my God, can we do that?
We can do pegging for pennies.
Let's do a fundraiser, yes.
Can it be more than happens? Pennies?
I have to tell the audience how wonderful it is sometimes I get text messages from you. I get these crazy text messages that start off with, hey, this is kind of an odd thing to ask, but can I see your cock and chastity? Or... Can Nancy and I peg you?
Can we peg? Do you mind if I have a guy suck your cock?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, what?
I get this crazy
stuff. Do you mind if I do some force buy with you?
They always start off with, hey, this is kind of an interesting thing to ask, but... this is kind of a crazy thing to ask, but... Can I have a guy suck your cock?
Might be a little wacky, but... Yes. Yes, I send these texts sometimes. Yes,
I start laughing immediately. It's like That is not a normal text you get from everybody.
No, but she, but see, I'm trying to prepare you for, it's not just a, hey, puppy, how's it going? We need to go have dinner time, not coffee, because that's just not cool with you. So we should do something else. Like, you should suck some guy's cock. Why not? That seems like a Friday night to me.
We've been at dinner together.
You were not sucking a guy's cock, though, at dinner.
No, but I'm saying you made it sound like...
Can he
suck a guy's cock?
At dinner? Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a bad thing to me.
We can plan some sort of formal dinner at your place.
We can plan some sort of formal... Do I have to cook, then?
No, you don't have to cook. You don't like it. Exactly.
So. I'm too picky about cooking.
Then there you have it.
it's a big ordeal, fancy dinners with cock sucking. Cock sucking fancy dinners.
Do I get any say in this or?
No.
Okay.
But don't act like you care. You're like, yes. Bring on the cock.
Please don't let me have any say in this.
Excuse me.
Force it down my throat, bitch.
I've never said that to you.
Yo, but that's how I translated it in my head when you said, okay. It automatically turned into, I love the cock. Let me do that. Can I suck the balls too?
Actually, you said, for somebody to do mine, not me to suck theirs.
Oh, shit. Now I've changed it. Now I want you to suck somebody else's. I don't know whose. I don't have a cock on hand for you to suck, but let's work on it. Strap on.
Oh, dear. I have a question.
I'm the pegging for pennies. I'm sorry.
I have a question for Puppy. How do you deal with if you do have needs or wants that you want to be known, how do you make them known?
I think that, It sort of depends on where I am with this person. And since I don't go to professionals, that's not my thing. If it's in a lifestyle relationship, you know, we just talk in natural terms of what is sexy, what is desired, what is appreciated, you know, all those things. So I let it sort of just happen. And if it's not something that the dominant is comfortable with or wants to do or interests her, then... I don't push it. I mean, it's not something, I don't think there's anything that like I absolutely positively have to have or the relationship's over. There's nothing like that for me, but certainly there are things that are really sexy, really appreciated, really that turn me on. And so I let those desires be known. And if that person naturally does it, for me, I want everything from the dom side to be completely 100% natural. I don't want them to put on, you know, to be doing something just to please me. I want it to be part of their experiences, of what they want naturally. If that makes sense.
No, actually, it really does.
So for me, I will gravitate toward the people that do have a natural propensity for the same things that I desire. And I will sort of stay away from those that don't. I mean, it's just a natural way that I think people are attracted, even in vanilla relationships. You know, it just works out that way.
But do you think, because that sounds awesome that you're able to stay away from those who are not conducive to what you want. But I mean, what would you say to someone who doesn't have that kind of life experience where they're able to weed out?
You know, I think about that often because I do have that life experience, and I've experienced literally everything that if I die tomorrow, I will die happy knowing I've done everything that I have ever desired. I've done crazy things, and I'm a really kinky guy.
You should mentor.
Probably. But,
you should mentor submissives.
That's probably true, but I don't know that I'm... my experience is anybody else's experience. I'm not sure that...
Yeah, but nobody's experience is, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's about a mentality.
Well, anyway, that's a good point. I definitely have the mentality. I mean, I'm not a natural switch, but if I were to meet a woman that was totally 100% submissive, I would be a great switch because I know exactly what's going on in her mind, you know? So, I mean, it's not... It wouldn't be...
Service top.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I could do because I know what's going on in her mind, but it's not something that I gravitate toward, you know? But the what was the question? I'm sorry. Also, okay. If somebody doesn't have my life experience and life knowledge about what they're looking for, then I think the answer is they have to be, they literally have to sit back with themselves, and they have to, not literally and physically, but they have to create a list. They have to understand themselves first. Because if you don't understand yourself, then there's absolutely nothing anybody can do for you. Because if you think that being on your knees and, you know, begging permission to do something is the sexiest thing in the world, and the dominant never wants you to do that, then how is that comfortable for you? So you really have to know yourself. So, and it goes even for vanilla relationships. You have to understand exactly who you are and what you want. And it's not something you have to force upon somebody else. In fact, that's never successful. You have to be able to simply look for what is natural for you and what is natural for them, and wait for the person that it clicks. Because, I mean, it's a numbers game. You know, you can talk to 1,000 people and one of them happens to be right, then it's right. But the other 999, they don't work. It's just as simple as that. And you have to have the courage to go through that and have that experience and just realize what's correct for you and cast away all the others. It's just what you have to do.
Might I also throw in there, for both sides, sitting and having a list, and especially for those that haven't had the experience, it's about kind of what they fantasize about and what they think they really want to do. There's a huge difference between that moment of fantasy and reality. You know, I've had situations where, you know, let's say I fantasized about something and then it happened. I was like, wow, yeah, off my list, because that fucking sucked. Don't want to do that again. So it's about it, you know, knowing yourself, absolutely, but getting tasters to mm-hmm. really know, to confirm that what your mental fantasy is really actually working in real life.
Absolutely.
And that's all I would say, but you're right.
Absolutely. And I mean, for me, I have so well defined in my mind what it is that I like, and I've experienced everything that's on my fantasy list, and it's all been wonderful because I knew myself at least well enough to understand what would be, okay. I mean, some things certainly are scary as hell in the real world. At least, it's certainly the first time you do it. It's scary as hell, but for me, I'm so attracted to that experience that as I work through it, then it just becomes wonderful, you know. And I listen, I have to laugh sometimes. I listen to, you know, some of these shows, either Howard Stern or one of these shows where they're talking about, they'll bring hookers and professional dominance or whatever on the show, and Howard or whoever is interviewing will say, oh, do you do X, Y, and Z? And these professional, like, prostitutes and dominants will say, oh, no, I would never do that in real life. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, I do that all the time.
We know you're a pervert.
But a good pervert.
I say the term pervert with all affection.
Yes. My perversion does not hurt anybody. Except maybe myself.
I don't even think it's that bad of a deal to hurt somebody. Just saying. What's so wrong with hurting people?
As you know, in the real world, I'm like the nicest guy. I'm a gentleman and a sweetheart.
Yeah, he's totally.
Yeah, so
nobody would guess.
Yes. So my perversion is my perversion, and it doesn't affect anybody in the outside world.
I think we probably have time for just one real quick question because we're running short of time. But so you're struggling with how do you tell your D-type, you know, you really need or want something, which I've already told you how to do it.
I know. I was curious about what the way he does it and what his take was on that.
Allow me to pose a D-type question to the S-types. So when you make a suggestion to your D-type and your D-type does it, what thoughts do you have at that moment?
I went first last time, so now you go first.
Rephrase the question. What are you saying?
Your dominant mm-hmm. has no interest in one of your number one kinks.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, she does it. You know, and it's for you, you're like, ah, you know, you're freaking out about it. Because in conversations with other dominants, there have been concerns of, well, you know, if I do what they say, I mean, they're topping from the bottom. Fuck that. I won't do it just because they asked. There's some dominants that actually think that
just because they asked, I won't do it. And because they believe that the S type will have less respect for them.
I, for me, it's not respect. I certainly don't lose respect for the D type. In fact, I think the respect goes up because they're sweet and want to do something like that. But from my perspective, I strictly 100% of the time want the dominant to be on the same page. I do not want to even ask something that's not just something natural for them that they want to do or that they do already. So for me, I mean, this is my personal thing. Right. You know, for other people, Nancy or any other S type might be completely different. But from my perspective, it is not so much topping from the bottom. That's certainly there. That idea of that is certainly there. But the idea that I am forcing somebody, or not forcing, certainly not forcing, but asking somebody to do something that is not a natural part of who they are is just, I don't want to use a word as strong as rape, but it feels like it's disgusting. I don't want to do that for me personally.
To not even play devil's advocate, but to counter that, is that what if it's simply just something that they hadn't done nor really even considered, but they're not opposed to it?
Well, then certainly, I mean, I can say, oh, you know, this really interests me. What do you think about that? And if they say, just like you said, oh, you know, I never thought about that, but sure, I would love to do that. I'd like to try it, then great. I mean, then that's a negotiation. I don't want to use the word negotiation, but it's...
We like using that word.
Yeah, but
we're
it's...
fans of the word.
But yeah, I know, but it's really just a discussion point, and... Mm-hmm. If that's cool with them, then great. Maybe they've discovered something they hadn't thought about and they would like to do. But as far as if they say, oh, yeah, I've done that. I just don't like doing it. It's not what I normally do. To me, it's just off the table, totally. That's just me.
Nancy?
I think you make some very valid points.
Thank you.
I think that... so often it is hard to tell anybody what kind of preferred thing you want. So to even be able to do so, it takes guts.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You know, if I can at least have that acknowledged, and even if I didn't get it, it's okay. Because at least I had the balls to put it out there to begin with.
That's true.
Having it actually happen, having my D-tip actually doing whatever it is that I've asked for, I think is something separate. I think, you know, that it is a type of negotiation. I can't get away from that. It is a negotiation, because if you don't want to do that and I really do, then that's not going to, you know, it's like you wanting to do needles on me. I wouldn't be that excited.
Oh, I know.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. And unfortunately, yes. We were running out of time.
Yes.
And we were like out of time. In fact, we got to wrap this shit up. So yes. Thank you so much, Puppy, for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Really, really insightful.
My apologies to the audience for the goofy voice.
I don't have time for your apologies. So follow us on the Twitter, which is the_love_bite. Like our Facebook page. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Go to the Stitcher. Download the Skid Row Studios app for iPhone. We're awesome, and we're, you know, Skid Row Studios is doing awesome things, and they're starting to get big in their britches, and we like that. So some good shit. And you know, next week we don't know what we're gonna do, but you know, there'll be something.
It'll be great,
and there'll be some hilarity.
Yeah,
and we're trying to get like kind of deep in shit.
Yeah,
fuck.
What?
I don't know. Maybe it's kind of not so interesting. I have to ask those peoples. I don't know. Some of this is really kind of deep. But thank you so much for tuning in, for downloading, for sharing, for listening to us and all of our trials, tribulations, joys, triumphs, etc., etc. We'll talk to you next week.